Daniel chapter 11, reading there in verse 35. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. Can we come to know ourselves? The message to God's people in these last period, in the period of Laodicea, is a message that needs to be heeded, like the message that Jonah gave to the king of Nineveh and the people of Nineveh. There was a message to them that told them that God would do something, and they repented with all their hearts. And that which God was going to do against Nineveh was postponed because of their confession and their admittance of their sin. There is, in principle, the message of Laodicea is exactly the same. Let's go there to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. And he's speaking here to Jesus here is speaking to the church, to the ministers, the angel of the church, which is are the ministers, the servants of God. To the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, how straight is that? What will God do? As he said to Nineveh, I'm going to destroy you. Here he says, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. And what that means is that he won't be there as our protector and our helper when the destruction strikes. So it's the same in principle. But like the Ninevites, there is a possibility for these people to repent. And it goes on to say, what your problem is, thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Hear the call? Like the Ninevites, God is saying to God's church today, Jesus is saying, you don't know yourself. You don't know how wretched, miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked you are. And you say, you feel so good about yourself. You have need of nothing. This is the condition of Seventh-day Adventism. And there is none of us here that should say, well, now I know. It says here, you do not know. And we better agree with God. I don't know myself. I don't know how wretched really I am. And only when I acknowledge that I don't know, can God help me. that I would actually know myself according to the way that he knows me. That's the important issue. And here I want to read from the Spirit of Prophecy in Testimony Volume 3. Reading there from page 255, paragraph 3, where Sir White hones in on the counsel that he gives up, I counsel you to buy of me gold, etc. It says, faith and love are golden treasures, elements that are greatly wanting among God's people. How much are they wanting? Faith and love are greatly wanting among God's people. I have been shown that unbelief in the testimonies of warning, encouragement and reproof is shutting away the light from God's people. She's talking here that she was shown that people were paying no attention to the wonderful counsel that was coming through the testimonies. Unbelief is closing their eyes so that they are ignorant of their true condition. What makes us ignorant of our true condition? We don't believe some things. Unbelief. The true witness thus describes their blindness. Knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? Knowest not. So the issue that we want to address here is to actually come to know ourselves as God knows us. As God says here, you do not know yourself. And what is meant by this regarding the knowledge of themselves? Can we lack knowledge of self? Can we really lack this? The Spirit of Prophecy is very, very clear here. We go to the Paulson Collection. The Paulson Collection, page 356, where Sister White is writing to this man, Brother Paulson. And she writes here in paragraph 4, I'm just reading the last sentence. It says, it would not be surprising if the human agent did not know himself. It's not surprising. Why? Why is it not surprising? Because, for the heart is deceitful, above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Have you got a heart? A human heart? A normal human heart? It says, it's deceitful. You feel good, and you're really no good. You may even feel bad, and the Lord is saying, no, you're right. It's deceitful. You can't trust. And therefore, it's not surprising if you don't know yourself. These revelations that are given us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit call for close attention to dealing with this problem. Because that's what Jesus is saying there. You do not know that you are like that, and I want you to buy of me eyesal to see. I want you to buy of me gold, faith and love. I want you to buy of me a white raiment so that your character defects might be purged and cleaned. And in meditating upon this, there are scriptures and experiences that God's people have made in the past, people whom we revere, such as Apostle Paul, who was a real villain against the Church of God. And he thought he was doing God's service. Saul of Tarsus. Let's come here to Philippians chapter 3. And notice that while he was Saul of Tarsus, while he was in this lofty Pharisaical mentality, the thing that he didn't know about himself that is revealed to us, of course, about him that he didn't know at that time. We come here to Philippians chapter 3 and read it there. Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through to 6, where he, in his natural human self, Laodicean in condition, expresses his lofty attitude about himself. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Now, what was the flesh he was talking about? He was talking about his birth, his lofty position in God's church at that time. It was still being worked on. It says in verse 5, circumcised the eighth day. My life was put into its correct setting. I was circumcised the eighth day. Of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Now, if you want to put it into today's terms, you will say, oh, I was a Seventh-day Adventist. An Adventist of Adventists. Touching the Ten Commandments, I kept the Sabbath, I was really, really faithful in all the things that are falling upon Seventh-day Adventists. A Pharisee, a Laodicean. We are the Laodiceans. We are the God's people in the last days. The people of the judgment. And then, verse 6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Did Saul of Tarsus know himself? He had a very high opinion of himself. The same as the Laodicean. Let's have a look also at Apostle Peter. Here, Apostle Peter in Mark chapter 14 gives a illustration of someone who did not know himself. Mark chapter 14, and reading there, verse 29 to 31. Mark 14, verse 29 to 31. But Peter said unto him, to Jesus, because Jesus says, I'm going to be crucified and so on. Peter said to him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. I love you. I will never be offended at you. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. Jesus knew him. Did he know himself? Look how he answers. But he spake the more vehemently. How dare you suggest that I would deny you? No. If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. Likewise said they all. Did they know themselves? This is interesting. And this is the message for our time that we are to understand. And I'm reading now from Desire of Ages. Reading there from page 673, paragraph 2. When Peter said he would follow his Lord to prison and to death. Notice, did he just say that off the top of his head? No, no, no. He meant it. Every word of it. But he did not know himself. He did not know himself. Hidden in his heart were elements of evil that circumstances would fan into life. What's that? When the circumstances are all sweet and lovely, everything's fine, we feel that we would do anything for Jesus. And then when circumstances go bad, whoops, we start to complain, we start to murmur, we start to flee from that which God wants us to do and be. And that's what Peter did. And so, as the Word of God comes on here further, it says, things were hidden in his heart, which circumstances would fan into life, unless he was made conscious of his danger. These would prove his ruin. You see, Jesus wanted to help Peter not to be lost. And so he had to become conscious. He had to be made conscious of his danger. When we are made conscious of our danger, like Peter, we will be annoyed. If somebody points out, especially the servant of God, points out to me my faulty outlook, my faulty way, that I don't even know I've got, how do you feel? How do you feel? Do you feel like going at that person? Do you feel like doing that, like vehemently saying to God, no, God, I would not go this way. I love you. I want to follow your way. But I don't know myself. So I must be made conscious of that. The Savior saw in him. What did the Savior see in Peter? He saw in him self-love and assurance that would overbear even his love for Christ. But he loved Jesus, but he doesn't know himself, you see. So even something inside of him which was self-love and self-assurance would overbear his love for Christ. Have you ever met that in your own experience where at one stage in time you were quite sure, and then later on circumstances happen and you really start to question God? You really start to murmur and complain, why does God let this happen to me? What are you doing when you do that? Your love for Christ has been eclipsed by comfort of self and self-assurance. And that's what Peter had the problem with. He didn't know it. It goes on to say, much of infirmity, of unmortified sin, carelessness of spirit, unsanctified temper, heedlessness in entering into temptation had been revealed in his experience. Christ's solemn warning was a call to heart searching. Isn't Jesus saying the same to the Laodicean people? He's calling to serious heart searching. Peter needed to distrust himself and to have a deeper faith in Christ. Had he, in humility, received the warning, he would have appealed to the shepherd of the flock to keep his sheep. When on the Sea of Galilee he was about to sink, he cried, Lord, save me! Then the hand of Christ was outstretched to grasp his hand. So now, if he had cried to Jesus, save me from myself, he would have been kept. But Peter felt that he was distrusted, and he thought it cruel. What an interesting meditation here. Do we do this when we are being made aware of things that are going to cause us to falter and fall when we need to be standing firm? And this is brought to our attention, and we think, how cruel of this being who is showing me these things that I just cannot accept. I'm not like that. Here it is. Peter felt he was distrusted. Can we misinterpret God's love in helping us? Can we misinterpret the under-shepherd's work in helping us? Can we misinterpret and think, these people are cruel to me? He was already offended. Peter was already offended, and he became more persistent in his self-confidence. This is not just what we do on the outer, it's also what we do on the inside. Something comes and whispers to me, and I go, no, I'm all right. And we become more persistent to defend ourselves. This is our danger. And so it is that we have a beautiful little statement here from 662. Looking upon his disciples with divine love and with the tenderest sympathy of Christ, said, now is the Son of Man glorified. Judas had left the chamber, and Christ was alone with the 11. And so here was Jesus trying to help them, trying to assist them in their struggle. So as we looked at Paul and we looked at Peter, can you see? These were people whom God loved. He wanted to help them. Jesus loved them. And so they went through deplorable discoveries about themselves and felt, even as we were reading there, Peter was hurt. He's been mistrusted. I wouldn't let I wouldn't turn on God, but God knows. So it is today. I've already drawn some comparisons here, but let's read it now. From Testimony Volume 5, page 674, paragraph 4, where Sister White says, I have been shown that unbelief in the testimonies of warning, encouragement and reproof is shutting out away the light of God's people. Unbelief is closing their eyes so that they are ignorant of their true condition. They think that the testimony of the Spirit of God in reproof is uncalled for, or that it does not mean them. How many times I've done that? I've read through the testimonies, and I thought, yeah, that's for that. That's for that person. Yeah, that's for this. This is for that. And didn't realize it was me that it was talking about. Until the Lord drew my attention to the fact, yes, this is, I'm talking to you, John. And so it is. Such are in the greatest need of the grace of God and spiritual discernment, that they may discover their deficiency in spiritual knowledge. I have been shown that this is so, according to the spirit of prophecy. Unbelief, and we think that the reproof that is given does not mean me. So, what does God have to do to make me aware that what he is saying about me is really true? What does God have to do? Well, we read it in our scripture reading. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 11, verse 35. This is now what he does with Apostle Paul, with Peter, with the disciples, with the Laodicean people whom he's trying to save. Here in Daniel chapter 11. These are people that do have some understanding. These are people who are prepared to follow Jesus even if they don't know themselves very well. Daniel 11, here verse 35 said, some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. The people living at the end, what must they be? Without fault, white, pure. How is God going to bring us there? Us who don't know ourselves, what will he do? Well, he's going to let us fall. And that's the most humiliating experience. Apostle Peter fell, didn't he? And as we were reading there, if he would have cried to God and acknowledged Jesus' words to him and said, Lord, then help me, instead of saying, no, I'm not like that. Instead of just crying out, Lord, help me, he could have been saved from the humiliation. But no. And this is our problem. We are self-deceived many times, and we have to go through humiliating experiences. And those who go through those humiliating experiences, they turn their back on God if they're not genuine. That's too much. I can't take any more. It's just too heavy. That's what people say. Too much. No. It says, for those people of understanding, they will understand, oh yes, Jesus warned me, and now I have fallen so that I would be purged and be made white and tried even to the time of the end. We're living there, right there. So, Let's go back to the Apostle Peter and see what happened because he fell and didn't know himself in the light of what we were reading there in Daniel. We read in Desire of Ages, page 674, paragraph 1. Jesus looks with compassion on his disciples. He cannot save them from the trial, but he does not leave them comfortless. Now, this is something very precious now. We have to fall if we're not listening, like Peter. We go and embarrass ourselves, and we feel even worse for what we have failed in. And God says to Peter, so beautifully, wasn't it? That even though he fell, he gave him a comforting message. I have prayed for you. Here it says, Jesus looks with compassion on his disciples. He cannot save them from the trial, but he does not leave them comfortless. He assures them that he is to break the fetters of the tomb and that his love for them will not fail. After I am risen again, he says, I will go before you into Galilee. Now, they didn't want to know that Jesus would die. They rejected that. And he said, you will all leave me. And they said, no, 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 it's not going to happen. But it all happened. And they fell miserably. They all fled and left him. And so it says, before the denial, they have the assurance of forgiveness. He is saying to them, I'm going to die. You're going to flee from me. And they said, no, we're not. No, no, no. Don't want to believe that. But then he says, after I've died, I will rise again and I'm going to meet you again. So that when they fell so miserably, he gave them a thought, oh, now we failed him so badly, he's still going to meet us. And you know, this is so precious to my soul, how the Lord has comforted my heart over the years. The first time I discovered it, I was only 20 odd years of age. I had felt that I had failed the Lord so badly that that's it, he's given me up. And lo and behold, he was there drawing me in his love. I thought, you love me still after this? What? And it goes on. Through our discovery of our failures, we feel we are lost, and the Lord has said, I'm there to help you. Here he says, before the denial, they have the assurance of forgiveness. Before they even sinned, they have the assurance of forgiveness. After his death and resurrection, they knew that they were forgiven and were dear to the heart of Christ. Are you picking it up? Are you embracing this? This is so essential that the message I'm sharing here, the message of Laodicea, is to identify that he loves us and he doesn't want to cast us off because we fall. We fall to be purged and to cleanse. And so it is, as we go through these experiences, we are to remember this. And I read here now from Our High Calling, Our High Calling, page 316, paragraph 4. So precious. Our God is an ever-present help in every time of need. He is perfectly acquainted with the most secret thoughts of our heart, with all the intents and purposes of our souls. He is acquainted with all that. When we are in perplexity, even before we open to him our distress, he is making arrangements for our deliverance. Just like with the apostles. The arrangements were made. I'm going to rise again after you deny me. After you all flee, I'm going to meet you again. He's making arrangements beforehand. Our sorrow is not unnoticed. He always knows much better than we do just what is necessary for the good of his children, and he leads us as we would choose to be led if we could discern our own hearts and see our necessities and perils as God sees them. But finite beings seldom know themselves. They do not understand their own weakness. God knows them better than they know themselves, and he understands how to lead them. And it is my prayer for you and me today that you reflect back over your past experience and see how the Lord has stepped in, how the Lord has apparently to yourself basically ignored your failure, as if it didn't exist. That's the way he spoke to the disciples. While you're going to deny me, I'm not going to deny you. I'm going to meet you again afterwards. As though it didn't exist. This is amazing. And as you fall, and as you have fallen, and as you have walked away from God, and then you can feel him still tugging on your heartstrings, you go, what, me? You still love me? Yes, this is a cleansing, this is a purging experience. When I have so bitterly disappointed him, when I've discovered that the very thing he told me I was going to do and I denied it, I went and did. And he still loves me. Let us open our hearts. Let us give over to him. And as we do, our embarrassments, our mistakes, a discovery of ourselves as we have not known ourselves, will be welcomed because God has already demonstrated that he loves me still. So there is so much that we must meditate upon here in reference to what I have laid out before our mind's eye. I do not wish to extend our meditation on these things any further. I just want us to take hold of this for our personal self. Acknowledge that I've got personality aspects within me that I don't know. And as we've just been reading there, if I can open my heart to this, then the next time it comes up that a particular characteristic that I've been unconscious of is drawn to my attention, instead of going, no, we go, okay, Lord, here's my hand, help me out of this. As Peter was meant to be doing. God grant us this faith. God grant us this love. That's what he's offering us. Gold tried in the fire. Faith when I'm going through the fire. To believe that God has not cast me off, even though I have fallen, to rise again. That's the scripture. Maybe we can turn to that scripture in conclusion. It's written in Psalms. Psalm 37. Here it is in verse verse 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. So we fall and we think we've lost. No, not utterly. The Lord will lift him up again. Praise the Lord. Let us take this in faith